This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 2 years ago, when San Antonians elected a mayor in a very intense election, only just under 15% of registered voters showed up at the polls. Today, early voting kicked off for a new mayor's race, also hotly contested, and a whole slew of other issues, including a transformational bond package. Many say San Antonio can do better and get more people to participate in these local elections, but what will it take? And there are some developers who think a new voting app on your smartphone could increase voter turnout. We're going to be talking about voting, what's happening locally, how to get more people to the polls, what's stopping them from coming up. But first, TPR's technology reporter Paul Flav has this story.
This is how my arms get all banged up. It's 75 for here, Steve.
It's a sunny day on San Antonio's south side, and Phyllis Ingram with the League of Women Voters is out delivering voter guides with her husband, Steve.
2, 4, 6.
The county's bibliotheque library on South Zarzamora is one of nearly 50 where she or other volunteers will drop off the pamphlets. They're filled with candidate biographies and other nonpartisan information about where they stand on issues.
Hi, got your voter guides. Here you go.
Every election cycle, the League prints and hands out these guides, this year more than 8,000 of them, to people to get them to the polls.
And how? What's the cost on that?
It's a lot of work.
It is blood, sweat, and tears, or dollars.
That's why Ingram's excited about the voting app. It's a free tool from Austin-based Civic Technology Foundation that makes local election information, like the League's guide, available on your cell phone. Ingram says the last time they added the League's guide to their app, it reached as many as 5,000 more people without her having to drop off a single guide.
We have more power in our pocket now than they did to send, you know, an astronaut into space. So the question is, how are we going to use those devices to evolve the way that we participate in 21st century democracy?
Civic Technology Foundation Executive Director Jeff Cardenas believes the app is effective because it uses push notifications that pop up on your phone with messages like,
hey, early voting starts in 2 days. Have you seen your ballot?
Or,
there's several polling places in your area.
And it would use your location and plot those polling places on a map. The app uses your address to tell you exactly what issues and candidates are on your ballot. It will show you how well you align with candidates on positions. One major thing designers did for better engagement was to include short video voters' guides for candidates.
My first priority is in connecting.
The thing they said is fix our street.
We also have to have an increased surge of civic engagement.
Brian Halderman is director of the University of Texas San Antonio Center for Civic Engagement. He likes the videos and thinks they'll attract younger eyes. Student-aged adults have increased their share of the voting population in national elections, but remain low in municipal ones. He thinks an app can help.
I do like the idea of having an app that provides notifications or reminders. Whether or not students are going to download it and use it, you know, that's a whole other kind of unknown.
This is the fourth election in which the voting app has been used in Texas, and Joe Santori, the other half of the Civic Technology Foundation, says they aren't doing it to get rich.
We genuinely feel like this is one of those things that deserves to exist, and so we're doing what we can to make it happen. Doing everything we can to make it happen, quite honestly.
Santori supports himself as a video game developer and designer, while Cardenas left his job at a robotics startup to run the foundation full-time. They offer this app free, but it isn't easy. These kinds of tools are time-intensive and expensive to build, so making it sustainable is their next plan. One thing they don't want to do, that other similar apps do, is sell the user data, says Jeff Cardenas.
There's this saying in technology that if you're not paying for it, then you're not the consumer, you're the product.
Paul Flav, Texas Public Radio News.
And we're back in the studios for The Source, and I have with me in the studio the people you heard in the story, Jeff Cardenas. He's executive director of the Civic Technology Foundation, Joe Santori, the director of the Civic Technology Foundation, and Brian Halderman, program director for the Center for Civic Engagement at the University of Texas at San Antonio. We invite you into our conversation as we talk about using new technology or even old technology, any technology, to get people to go out and vote in the polls of what's keeping people, what needs to happen to motivate people, why it's important that we're doing this, what's keeping you from voting, what have you seen today when you've gone out and voted, if you have early voted, what we would like to get a progress report on what you've seen out there. The number to call in, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Jeff Cardenas, let me ask you off the bat, how do I download this thing on my phone?
So the easiest way to download the voting app is to go to our website at www.representsa.org, and there'll be a button that you'll see right in the middle of the page. It will say download the voting app, and from there you'll have links for the iOS and the Android version, and you can download it from there.
I was also able to get it. I downloaded it, put it on my phone just through the App Store on the iPhone.
You can also search Represent SA or the voting app in either of the app stores, and you can find it that way as well.
So where are we right now with the, I know we have an iPhone because I got it, but the Android one is still, what happening?
So the Android one has been submitted to the App Store, and it should be live today. You can download the Android version today, but right now what it has live is voter registration, and so you'll see your ballot coming online later on today once that goes live in the store.
So why is it important to have something like this available on people's phones?
Well, so the biggest thing that we're focused on is delivering information in local elections. One of the things that we've looked a lot at is about drop-off voters. So in this past election, the presidential election in San Antonio, you had about 40% of Bexar County voters would turn out to vote. Now they're predicting in this election maybe 15%. In the 2015 election, we had about 12% that actually turned out to vote. So the question is, why would you vote for president but not for mayor? And what we find is that a lot of people don't vote for mayor because they simply don't know that it's happening. They don't have access to the information. And so what they've told us is, hey, if it was as easy to get the information for local elections as it was for big presidential elections, then I would vote. And so that's the goal of the voting app, is to give you all the information you need for local elections and put it right in the palm of your hand in one place, basically eliminate all of the barriers or excuses, depending on how you look at it, for not voting in a local election.
There are people who know that there is a mayor's race going on, but they don't know about what's happening with their city council district. And that is also something that may be a barrier to folks as well. And you're able to drill down and provide that for them.
Exactly. We'll provide you your specific ballot. So you enter your voting location, so your home address typically, and we'll give you your specific ballot with all the kind of noise cut out. We'll give you all of your candidates. We have a video voters guide that we're debuting in this version of the voting app that has videos on 50 of the 80 candidates, all the candidates that we got to participate. We also have the League of Women Voters voters guide, Move SA's voters guide on all the candidates. So kind of all the information from all the candidates is right there. And then we have pros and cons on all the propositions. So we have information from one SA and information from the folks that are against the bond. You can see an overview on all the different propositions on the bond. You can see polling places right there. Everything's kind of right in the palm of your hands.
It's also, Joe, want to go ahead?
So I wanted to add to why it's important to have this on the mobile device. So we've traditionally lived in a on the internet in a realm of searching for information. What this will allow voters to do is have information pushed to them in a timely manner. So the information is coming to them. Once you get the idea is that once you get the application on your device, you'll never miss another election. You'll be notified ahead of time, and you'll be get provided any information that you need in order to make an informed decision.
Right. Particularly our younger generation, they feel like if news is important, the news will come to them, and they expect it to show up on their smartphone, or otherwise it's not worth knowing about. And so this is a way to try to provide that service to them. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. We'll continue our conversation about what's it going to take to get people to the polls. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. There's a whole lot going on the ballot when you go to the polling stations, and a lot of people, they're going, what is this? Who are these people? Why do they want my vote? Well, if you want to find out who they are, what's going on before you show up to vote or to give you a reason to show up to go vote, you can download a voters app to your smartphone. And this is a way to try to empower people with information they need to make smart decisions. And with us to talk about that more is Brian Halderman. He's the program director for the Center for Civic Engagement at the University of Texas at San Antonio. And Brian, how is this important, particularly with younger voters?
Yeah, I think the younger demographic of voters obviously are carrying around smartphones and they're using it for social media and a lot of other uses today. And so having a voting app really allows them to have this information easily accessible. One of our efforts at the university is really to increase engagement in the voting process. Through a lot of student advocacy, we were able to bring an early voting polling place onto the main campus at UTSA, and that's been a great success, even seeing over 11,000 folks vote there during the presidential election in the fall. But what we do know is that 3.6% of registered voters under the age of 35 participated in the municipal election in 2015. So the turnout of the younger demographic for the municipal election last time around was very low. And so part of our effort this year, working with a lot of partners like MoveSA and the Civic Tech Foundation and many others, we've been really working hard to try to increase that percentage of that younger demographic engaging in this process. And having the voting app and the voters guides and this information easily accessible, we're hopeful that's going to help engage these young people.
So we're focused on the mayoral race and the Nurses City Council, but the bond election seems like that would be something that would really be enticing to younger voters, because there's so many things that are in the bond that they would be able to take advantage of. It's kind of geared towards making Broadway and Fredericksburg roads complete streets, and having dedicated safe bike lanes available to them. UTSA with Athletic Center, the land bridge. These are people powered. The land bridge is for people, by the way. Items that they would be able to vote on if they support it.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, the key is really to demonstrate to the young people what the bond actually helps us do and helps us fund. So giving them sort of concrete examples of past bonds and what that was able to help us do as a city kind of helps them see it come alive for them. And so it's kind of hard to make those connections for young people, I think. But hopefully you're right. I think this bond particularly is going to really benefit young people, particularly our young folks at UTSA.
So Joe Santori, is the bond information in the app?
It is, actually. So we should be pushing the pros and cons here in the next few minutes for each of the propositions on the ballot.
You mean pushing them out to the app?
Pushing them out to the server on the app. The server will be pushing the information to the apps, yes.
Okay, and that's happening any moment now.
Any moment now. It may actually be online right now. I was about to pick up my phone and check.
Okay, so where are you getting your information from?
From a variety of sources. So specifically for the bond information, for the pro side, we're using the City of San Antonio's website. They have a nice PowerPoint that kind of briefly gives an overview of the benefits of these bonds. And then Carlton Souls, who seems to be the biggest voice on the other side of the coin, has provided us a number of bullet points for the cons of the proposition.
He's a former city councilman, and he is a vocal opponent to some of the ballot items, the bond items. So our phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment about voting, if you're at one of the early voting stations today, right now, love to hear from you to get a report on how long it took you to vote today. And the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This morning, I got a message on my phone from the app, and it did tell me early voting began today. Go vote. And I did go vote, and I went to the Wonderland Crossroads of America, and it was done lickety-split. 4 minutes later, I was in and out. It was easy to do, which is good news, but bad news, because, you know, we would like to see, you know, some kind of line there, some show. Jeff Cardenas, how many people have downloaded this? Are you able to tell?
So right now we have about 1,000 downloads, and we just launched the app last Tuesday. So we're making our big push today. So this week is when we really expect the steam to pick up on the downloads. So we'll let you guys know later on in the week. One of the big purposes of this project is to really measure all of the things that we're doing. So as we get kind of on the tail end of this project, we'll start to publish those numbers of what we've seen in San Antonio and what kind of engagement we've had within the app.
So a lot of people are very concerned about their privacy online, and they don't want that information about them. As you mentioned in the story, that if something is free, then you are the product, and you're saying that is not going to happen in this case.
Yeah, something is free, you know, if something's free, then you are the product.
Like unless, on Facebook.
Yeah, unless you're a nonprofit. And then there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, I think, that goes into making that available to the public. So one of the things that we did early on was we wanted to create a tool that people would actually trust. One of the things that we felt was that there's this inherent lack of trust that's kind of pervasive in the system today. And so if we created a tool that was just like the rest of them, then nobody would really want to use it. And so we focused on, you know, taking this route of being a nonprofit and making the back end of the application is open source, so it's transparent. People can actually see the code. And yeah, we don't do anything with your data. We don't sell it. The only thing we're going to do with the data is we're going to analyze the data with academics to figure out what works and what doesn't. But other than that, your data, you know, is completely safe and doesn't get used.
But people can say, you know, the content is skewed this way, that way, the other way. How is there any interactive opportunities for people to respond how things are presented on the site? You know, how do you work out who gets positioned where? Who got a photo, who didn't get a photo, and what kind of language is used, Joe?
So that's a very, very good question. So we started out wanting to ensure that we maintained a nonpartisan line. And what we found out very early from a former mayor in Austin, Bruce Todd, he told us to stop using the word nonpartisan because everything is partisan. You just can't get around it. So we've moved more towards what we call an omnipartisan sort of route. So we are allowing for organizations that have voters' guides to present their information. And as far as we're taking what's available, what we have so far is the League of Women Voters, and we have Move San Antonio's. Then we have our own Represent SA Video Voters Guide. And for the most part, these answers come directly from the candidates themselves, and they're not changed or edited in any way.
Which is telling, because there's some creative use of the English language in what the candidates put forth. And you say, why is this so cryptic? Why is this misspelled? It's because there is no editorial adjustments being made by you or by the league.
Absolutely. We want to leave that decision between you and the candidates.
That's part of the information. You can say, well, do I want a candidate who doesn't really seem able to master this level of communication? And then you have other candidates who are very good at it. They have a slick video up there, a very concise, well-produced. The audio is good. And you're saying, well, here's a person that gets it.
Well, actually, in the video voters guides, we use the same microphones and the same cameras and the same lights for every candidate in each race. So if a candidate's able to present himself better, that's his own chops, his or her own chops. That has nothing to do with how he presented it.
Okay, let me go to a caller here. Hugh is on the line. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to call in. And Hugh, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, I've got two things. One is I'm looking at their website, and I can find the candidate voters guide, but I can't find anything on the bonds. The second thing is I'm in District 7, and only one of the candidates did anything with the video stuff. The rest of them all declined.
Right. Okay. So, Hugh, thank you for the call. And so, Joe, you said the part about the bond is coming right now.
Yeah, the part on the bond is actually in the mobile applications right now.
Okay.
So we have we just recently got the pros and cons from our sources for the bonds themselves. So we'll be posting those later today. So the site's ready to go. We just need to actually fill in that content. We focused first on the mobile application.
Right. So, and then to Hugh's point, only one candidate in District 7, I think it was Anna Sandoval, who actually posted a video on this. So how did that work out?
That was, so we gave every candidate multiple opportunities to participate in the video voters guide. If I sent out one email, I sent out 20, 25 emails, making sure they had the opportunity through the course of the filming and the like. Unfortunately, fortunately, Anna Sandoval responded, but that was the lowest district as far as turnout in numbers and with amongst candidates.
So forget about getting people to the polls. Get candidates to participate in these free apps in order to get their message out. What's keeping them from doing that? What kind of excuses did you hear, Joe?
Well, you know, giving the candidates credit, there are two big things that that are the most scarce for them are time and money, and they have to choose their battles very, very selectively. We are a new organization with a new initiative, so we don't have a lot of steam behind us yet, but ironically, we got over 50 candidates out of the 80 to respond. So there is that.
Right, but the League of Women Voters has been around forever, and they have trouble getting people to respond to their voting thing. Jeff?
Yeah, the thing I would add to that is I think it's telling when you see who responded and who didn't respond. I mean, that's one of the things that folks told us when we first launched the app and we just had the League of Women Voters Voters Guide, is they said, you know, you guys say that this is a nonpartisan app and you're not trying to, you know, skew my opinion one way or the other. But when I'm looking through the candidates and they didn't respond to the League of Women Voters Voters Guide, well, what do I have to go off of except their website? You know, this is really kind of skewing my decision. And we said, well, that's not up to us. That's up to the candidates as to whether or not they're going to respond. And so what I would say to that is pay attention to the candidates that did respond and what they, you know, what they had to say. Every candidate was offered the same opportunity, same camera, same lighting, and, you know, it's up to them to whether or not they want to be a part of that.
And Brian Halderman at UTSA, how do students react to that type of information?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to really see what's available not only in the app but also online for each of the candidates. I mean, young people today are constantly Googling, watching videos on YouTube, using social media. And if there's no presence from candidates, you know, on Facebook or online, you know, there's basically no information for young people who are you know, digital natives, to so speak, to the online world, for them to find out information about these candidates. So the app's a really great way to do that. But if there's no information that the candidates are providing, there's no information.
Yeah, the biggest complaint we hear from candidates is the need to fundraise or buy TV time. But a lot of people aren't watching TV anymore. There's plenty of free opportunities to get your message out there through YouTube and through social media and through things like this app. Now they just have to step up and take advantage of it. Our phone lines are open. San Antonio has an election right now. Early voting is underway. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can vote at any of 30 locations across San Antonio through Tuesday, May the 2nd. Election day is Saturday, May the 6th. We have the mayoral race. We have city council races with four open seats. We've got a $850 million bond election. We've got the race for the bond for also the Alamo Community College District, and lots of races across the area from Alamo Heights to Balcones Heights. Also, in regards to this, the bond, we're going to be doing a lot of talking about the bonds over this week and drilling down and trying to explain what's in the bond. And we're doing something new here at The Source. We're asking, as a new way to reach out to voters, to listeners, and get some sort of input from them, if they can want to leave a voice message on a voice line that we have, or a TPR source line. That's at 210-615-8982, 210-615-8982. You can leave a two-minute message with a question, a comment, a complaint, or praise about any of these bond items, and we'll take that message and we'll use that in our programming on Wednesday and on Thursday on The Source. And your input will help guide our conversation as we talk about the bond. You know, what is it about them that you like, that you don't like? And again, that number is 210-615-8982. Call in at the time, and you can be part of The Source. And this is the way a lot of people don't want to call in live on the show, or they're working during that time. This is a way we can reach out to them and be more inclusive. Meanwhile, we'll be taking this two-minute break, and when we come back, we'll get some of these callers on the air, talk about how to get more engagement in San Antonio at the voting booth. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Multiple community initiatives have been working to increase voter participation here in San Antonio, increase civic engagement. Will the hard work pay off this time at the polls? Joining me is Jeff Cardenas, the Executive Director of the Civic Technology Foundation, Joe Santori, Director of the Civic Technology Foundation, also Brian Halderman, the Program Director for the Center for Civic Engagement at the University of Texas at San Antonio. And Jeff, one more time, I'm going to do it again at the end of the show too, but capitalize the name of your app and how people can get it.
So the name of the app is the voting app, Represent SA Edition, and you can get it one of two ways. You can either search for it directly in the App Store, and you can search for Represent SA or the voting app, and you're looking for the voting app, Represent SA Edition, or you can go to our website at www.representsa.org, and there's a button that says download the voting app, and you can click that, and it'll take you to a link to download the app from there.
And this will give you quite a bit of information about what's at the polls here in San Antonio on this mayoral race. Early voting kicked off today. Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Nancy is called in. And Nancy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Nancy.
I downloaded the app over the weekend, and I found out about it through the Nextdoor app that I... I get on there and I help rescue dogs and stuff. So I saw the post for your app and I was really happy to find that because I'm new to San Antonio area. And it helped me to learn more about the candidates in this election. And I had one suggestion is if any of the candidates have a website, if that could be linked to each one of them where they answer questions or don't, as the case may be.
Okay, Nancy, thank you for the call. And what is Nextdoor app? You guys seem to know what that is.
So Nextdoor is basically like a community forum for your neighborhood. So you can post things that are happening in your neighborhood. I see about stray dogs walking through my neighborhood or different things. And so it's a community forum, I guess, would be the best way.
And Joe, the are the links to these candidates' websites post part of this information?
The candidates who participated in the League of Women Voters Voters Guides, they provided that sort of information up front. Now, we haven't gone out as an organization, the Civic Technology Foundation, to go out and find any information outside of doing the video voters guides. So if the candidates participated in the League of Women Voters Vote for 1-1 Voters Guide, they would have provided their website link as well. So if they did not participate, well, their link doesn't live there.
Okay. So Brian Halderman, over at UTSA, director of the Center for Civic Engagement, what are you telling the people who come to you, your students who work with, and as becoming a non-cynical, open-minded, generous of spirit voter?
Yeah, it's a challenging demographic for sure. The young people, I think the young people we're working with today are more interested in being engaged, I would say, even than my generation in this process. And so we're seeing, an uptick in young people's engagement. Particularly, we saw that in the fall election. And so we're just really trying to support that student energy and engagement. And you're right, we do come across those cynical students, and we're really trying to help them understand, particularly the municipal election is the one that's most important. It really impacts them here in our community most closely. And we're really trying to engage them in this process. Thanks to Move San Antonio, we've really registered a lot of students. Just in the spring alone, we registered over 1,000 students, and they've been a really great help to us on our campus to talk to students about voting, the importance of voting, why to be engaged in the process, and to share with them about the registration process, which is rather complicated in our state.
Okay, Jeremy's online. Jeremy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
All right. So I am a 28-year-old in San Antonio. I actually just downloaded the app, was listening to the show, so thanks for letting me know that I was out there. So one of the interesting things I saw in the fall election was there was a massive push on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat even, to learn more about the candidates and to get registered to vote. So while that's great for a national election, I don't really see as much of that for the local election or for the bond issues or for the mayoral candidates. So I was wondering what kind of civic engagement there is from these big media platforms that could help maybe drive young people to the polls, since that's where we are.
Okay. All right, Jeremy. Thank you very much. So, Joe Santori, how can you plug into the big boys?
It's a good question. I think Jeff will have a better answer there.
So, I mean, it comes down to when you're talking about, engagement on social media is getting to voters, and there's a bigger budget when it comes to these presidential elections than there is for local elections, frankly. And so they can afford to, the candidates, you know, some of these presidential candidates have billion-dollar budgets, and so they can afford to kind of bombard the airwaves. At the Civic Technology Foundation, we're a nonprofit. We're trying to develop technology for the voting app. We're also trying to create posts, and we rely on the community really for those posts to gain traction and, you know, grow organically, because we can't necessarily afford to do the kind of paid advertising that some other of these more coordinated campaigns can do. So this is the first time we've done it in this way in this election. Represent SA is kind of a new model for how to do this. And so we're looking for ideas for better ways to engage and better ways to really do this in the future.
So in addressing Facebook's ability to get this statewide and federal information, that information is actually relatively low-hanging fruit compared to local information. It's very hard to access that data, and that's actually this problem we're trying to solve by acting more locally and trying to gather information more locally. So there are a number of Google APIs and Sunlight Foundation APIs still out there for accessing, the ballot, the candidates on the senator and U.S. representatives ballots, and as well as a president. So it's a little bit easier for those companies to grab that information and post it and get people out there. So,
okay. Stephen has called in. Stephen, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, yes. My name is Stephen Lucky, and I'm actually a mayoral candidate. I met Joe recently at the Alamo Beer Brewery when they did a talk with the...
Hey, Stephen, this is really not the place to campaign, all right? I appreciate that you're running for mayor, and I know you're a young guy and you're trying to make a difference, but we're not opening this up as a forum for candidates right now. So let's get to another caller, Sean. Hey, Sean, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I want to start by saying I'm a San Antonio native, 20-something, almost 30, who doesn't live in the area anymore, so I'm only able to listen through the TPR app. So I may have missed the answer to my question while driving and streaming, going in and out of signal. My question for you guys is this. I heard you mention Austin and San Antonio. Are there any plans to take this app to other cities like Victoria, Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, Waco, that kind of thing?
All right, Sean, that's a great question. So what about it?
Yeah, the answer to that is simply yes. So what we're trying to do here in San Antonio is come up with a model that works for how do you use technology and best practices and grassroots organizing to work within a community to get people working together to launch us in cities all across Texas. And so, we also, if it works in Texas, then it'll work in the broader United States. But what we want to do is develop that model here in San Antonio, figure out what works and what doesn't, measure what works and what doesn't, and then that'll inform our learning as we move on to other cities throughout Texas.
And Brian Halderman?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think one of the smart things that the Civic Tech Foundation did was really approached a lot of the partners here in the community that have been working to increase voter turnout, to register voters, to say, how can we work together to build a coalition to really make this successful? And so I think we've seen that with folks working together to promote the app, to promote this effort, to really help increase turnout. You know, as we know, we had very low turnout, so the hope is we can increase it.
So, Jeff, in replicating this in other communities, would this be, like, you would hand off all the code or whatever to someone else, or would there be some sort of central foundation organization that would kind of be the go-to guy, or how would that work? Or Joe, tell me.
I can handle that. Yeah. So basically, once the app is built, we can now deploy it in any city through anywhere, really. We're looking at Texas because Texas has, in this last election, we were 49th out of 50. And the Annette Strauss Institute at UT published a report that shows Texas as being one of the lowest states for voter engagement in the U.S. And so this is our home, this is where we're from, and so we're focusing on Texas. But from a technology standpoint, we can really deploy this anywhere. The question is, how do we work within a community to make sure that people actually get the app in their hands and we can communicate the message? And so that's what Brian was kind of talking to. In San Antonio, there's a really active and engaged community of organizations that were all kind of working independently on their own project. And what we did with Represent SA was try to create a coalition where we could all work together centered around this voting app. So we can take that to other cities. We'd have to find other partner organizations. We've been working with the League of Women Voters, League of Women Voters Texas, and then the various municipal League of Women Voters since the very beginning. And so they've kind of been one of our cornerstone partners as we come into a new city.
And Joe?
So, and speaking about being in other cities, during the 2016 election, we covered every major city in Texas down to the county level elections. And that was with the help of the League of Women Voters at the state. So they reached out to each one of their local chapters to deliver their Vote for 1-1 Voters Guide to us. And we went out and got all of the polling places ourselves. So we've started this to some degree. We haven't publicized it, and we weren't working with a number of organizations like we are here in San Antonio. So as far as what we plan to do, we would like to take Represent SA, or Represent, as it were, and deploy this somehow in other municipalities. Now we're looking at ways of replicating it efficiently, almost like a scalable sort of way. But yeah, that's the intention. Civic Technology Foundation would come in and say, "Hey guys, let's put something together."
Okay. Here's the phone number if you want to join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Where are you on voting in this mayoral race and the bond election and city council and all sorts of other things happening around the area, the county? 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Are you frustrated with not being able to get the information that you want in order for you to make the decision that you feel comfortable with? 210-614-8980. The source continues after this quick break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Getting more people to participate in our elections is critical if we want to have election results that reflect the community. More folks have got to show up. Why aren't they voting? Maybe they don't have the information enough, the information that they feel comfortable with. A solution for that might be a voting app that's now out there, 210-614-8980, if you want to join the conversation as we talk about this. You know, after the election of President Donald Trump, we saw this huge new wave of political activism, giant marches. The Women's March was a record breaker. We just had another big march this weekend with the Pro-Science March. It seems like people are wanting to march. They're wanting to be engaged. But will that intensity and interest transfer at the local level? 210-614-8980. Give us a call if you got a response to that. We'd love to hear from you. Here's Aaron. And Aaron, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Dave. How are you guys?
Hey. Go ahead.
So I was really excited about the app as someone who is constantly being tapped by my group of friends and associates for sources on political resources. So I think it's a really exciting innovation. My hope, you guys have talked a lot about engagement and that sort of continued effort to get people involved. But what about stamina? Like, I was really interested in the Vote Cal part of the app that sort of announced when candidates were having referendums, forums, things like that. And so I'm hoping that there's some energy post-election to still continue to put that information on the calendar app, the calendar section of the app, just because I think that as someone who lives in San Antonio and has for 10 years, it's difficult sometimes to find when and where those things are happening.
Okay, Aaron, thank you for the question and answer. Joe?
So, yes, actually, that's the first step in post-election engagement that we're going to use. We're going to utilize that calendar app and keep it as populated as frequently as possible beyond the election, whether it's, it's basically a start into a bit of a citizens app that we want to eventually work towards. And it's still in the very young stages of development, but it's a first step. So, yeah, that's a very good question.
All right. Another caller, Ashley. Ashley, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is, I understand this voting app is from a foundation. You're getting, maybe private funders donating. Is there any steps that are being taken to see if maybe, and it could happen that one of your donors has some kind of political agenda and might influence your voting app in some way, or maybe it just might look bad? Is there any steps that you're thinking about taking to consider that?
Great question, Ashley. I really appreciate you asking that question. So, Jeff Cardenas?
Yeah, so I can, that's a great question, and we've taken a number of steps.
So first of all, who is funding this?
So the question, who is funding this? We are funding this. So we've actually taken money from no one. to date, you know, to fund this. So this has all come out of our back pockets and the work that we've done. We have our CTO is based out of Washington, D.C., so he's put in some grueling hours basically to get this app out and available. And the model that we want to do to actually fund this in the future is the vision behind this is to create an app that's by the people and for the people. And so we want to get it to be funded by the people, and we want to create a crowdfunding campaign where if you want an application that is secure, that doesn't sell your data, that gives you the information you need for local elections, then coming off of this, once we sort of prove this model out, we're going to ask the public to chip in and fund this. So we're not going to take money from these foundations. We're very sensitive to that, obviously, because as I mentioned before, the key to making something like this work is going to be trust. And so we want to do whatever we can to make sure that we have the public's trust.
So Brian Halderman, we're at the Center for Civic Engagement at the University of Texas at San Antonio. That's the kind of nuanced, powerful question that you're probably going to get from a younger voter, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, students are definitely interested in these kinds of questions. And so it's important that we gain that trust, as Jeff was saying, in terms of for our students to be able to trust the information in an application like this and want to know, well, what's the source and where it's coming from. We have great students who are inquisitive about that kind of information, so it's important to know that.
So earlier we were talking about trying to get candidates to participate, and Jeff, you mentioned that it's really hard to get incumbents to participate. They seem to be the most skittish, and they're very guarded in doing answering like the League of Women Voters type responses or questionnaires. So should users of your app hold them accountable for that? Should that be, if they're not in your app, if they're not in the league's questionnaire, and you say, why isn't this incumbent taking this action, then that should be at least like an eyebrow?
Well, so we have seen good engagement from many incumbents, and there are a lot of incumbents that are more than willing to participate. So I just want to first say that. But what I was talking about is really this decision point you have as a candidate as far as what you participate in and what you don't. And what we see is we see this from many incumbents, and especially in these larger races, is that they are very selective about what they will participate and what they won't participate, especially if they're up in the polls. A lot of incumbents will see it as not worth taking the risk to participate in something maybe that's unproven if they feel like they're already going to win. And so I think you should hold your elected official accountable to make sure you know where they stand and you know what they're all about before you elect that person back into office. One of the interesting statistics, and I don't know it specifically, but there's this big gap between approval rating and how we feel our elected officials are doing, and then the re-election rate. A lot of times we'll see that people are not necessarily happy with the job that their elected official might be doing, but they get re-elected at over a 90% rate, I believe. And so it's about asking these tough questions and then holding your elected officials accountable.
Diana has called in. Diana, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. What I would like to share is that in the 2016 national elections, I was very involved because I understood the big issues, and I knew exactly where the candidates stood on those issues. What I think is lacking at the local level is that I don't understand the issues, and much less know what the where the candidates stand on those issues. I hope that this app can somehow bridge that, or at least give us a little bit more info, or be a better tool for us to be familiar with local issues and candidates' positions.
Okay, Diana, thank you for that. So is there an easy graphic that shows Vista Ridge, yes, no, maybe so, or something like that, that you'd be able to easily tell where the candidates stand on issues? Joe?
Not currently, not that I'm aware of, unless Jeff knows something. But, you know, the suggestion that I heard in all that was actually very good. You know, how can a voter make a decision on an issue if they don't have enough information on the issue itself? So that is something that we would love to address. I mean, it's all about education, like knowing what your options are and knowing why you're choosing. So
Okay, and you wanted to say something, Brian?
Yeah, I was just going to add. I mean, I think one of the things that we know about, particularly about youth engagement or young adult engagement in elections is information and ease of access of information. And so the caller raises a very good point that having, you know, ease of access through an app like this or utilizing technology that we have today is really important for engaging folks in the election.
Okay, another caller, Mary Ann. And Mary Ann, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. From a communications perspective, from my years in marketing and working in grassroots organizing, I was wondering if there's a way of looking at the app as just, and I'm late to the program, so you may have covered this.
That's okay.
Looking at the app as part of, I guess, kind of a neural network kind of thing, where an important element is getting to the face-to-face and in terms of motivating people and getting them information and the access to that information, not technically technology, but because so many of the people who are served by grassroots efforts are people who work two and three jobs, and it's not that they're not interested, but they can't, they just don't have the time to get engaged. And is there any way of tapping the very, very small businesses that many of these people work at and having them see what's in it for them to be conduits of information on the app and kind of reaching at that level because they don't have free time? And the other thing is that not only information on issues, but how do you make things happen in the San Antonio government? It's a labyrinth, and it is very unfriendly for people to learn how to have input in the system.
All right, Marianne, thank you for the call. And so Jeff Cardenas.
So there's a lot of pieces to that, but I'll try to break it down and try to hit kind of point by point. So one thing you talked about was getting to know the candidates face-to-face. So one of the things we've done in this version of the voting app is we provided a video voter's guide where you can actually hear directly from the candidate's mouth where they stand on a number of issues and why they believe they should represent your district or the city of San Antonio. So we actually really tried to address that problem in this version of the voting app. Traditionally, we had only provided written voters guides like the League of Women Voters Guide or Move SA's Voters Guide. But what we found is that this interactive video component really helped people kind of the people element behind the candidates.
Takes advantage of the medium.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing that you said was getting to these businesses. And what we tried to do with Represent SA was to reach out to all the various chambers of commerce and start there to have them communicate with their the businesses that are a part of it so that the businesses can get this information to the people that work there. Now, we have meetings this week, actually. Unfortunately for the calendar, we were able to get those meetings this week. So we're going to be working with the various chambers of commerce.
So where, to get that one last time, where would I look in the app store to download this?
So to download the app, you will type in Represent SA or the voting app, and you can download the voting app in iOS or Android. You'll see it there. Or you can visit our website at www.representsa.org, and there'll be a link there for you to download the apps.
Early voting is underway. Election Day is May the 6th. Please participate. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.